You know, the argument would be, well, should I prepare for my nipples turning into balloons? Is that something I should be worried about, floating off into the atmosphere, never to be seen again? I mean, really, if something only happens, a once-in-a-lifetime event, should we really be that concerned about it? Yes, you should, because we are obligated to take care of people. You are elected to, in fact, care for your constituents, you motherfucker.
Does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side I have my good pal and buddy in crime, Nate Gorzinski. Nate, should we talk about the weather? Hi,
man. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. You just called me your buddy in crime.
Did I? Yeah, that's a new thing. That's how you got to do it.
That's cool. Yeah, well, hey, we're friendly criminals. We get along while we perpetrate.
Yeah.
We're buddies.
We get busted together. That's what I'm telling the cops. I'm like, this is my buddy in crime. It's not my partner. He's my buddy.
He's not my co-defendant. He's my buddy in crime.
That's right.
but I'm doing all right. I'm exhausted. It's my body is weary. I don't know, these last couple days have been have done a number on my body, just physically, and it's been self-inflicted. I've been exercising a lot more, like, as I think I mentioned last episode, I'm like doing really well, and I started kind of jogging, which is a thing I never did in my whole life. I've always been a smoker, so I never had the lung capacity or the desire.
Yeah.
Wow. It seems silly. But being a pandemic and being the fact that I live on the back roads with no like sidewalks or anywhere really to escape the traffic, I've been running in my house just back and forth. And like these, I'm serious, man. I'm lifting weights in the house. I'll just in between sets do like a couple laps around the house. And it's only like a hundredth of a mile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Back and forth. It's like doing it like back and forth, back and forth. Dude, yesterday I jogged in my house back and forth 5 miles.
Dude,
I have a thing on my wrist, like a Apple Watch that keeps track. And so then today, obviously, I couldn't walk because I've never run 5 miles in my life. I've been like, you know, I avoided running like the plague. My legs don't know what's happening. So today we get all this snow. You mentioned, should we talk about the weather? Well, I went out and had to snowblow with my sore ass calves. And I don't know, it was about 3 inches of snow, maybe. So I heard you, where you are down in the south, down in Tejas.
Yeah.
Texas.
Tejas,
You're suffering a little more with the snow, from what I understand. How are things for you?
Yes, indeed. But before we get to me, this is something that is kind of astounding my little brain right now, is the fact that you're like, yeah, man, I'm doing sets. I'm curling, man. I'm pumping iron, and then I just take off running, like around the kitchen, into my den, and then I'm like, 5 miles in a day. But, you know, really, what you should be doing, because, I mean, you know, running is just stupid. You know, these people who are like, and don't get me wrong, the more the merrier, whatever makes you happy in life is fine as long as you're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
But these people are like, yeah, man, the endorphin rush, everything else, I feel great. It makes me, I'm overflowing with joy. I say, why don't you just masturbate?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the masturbation's good. It's just that feeling doesn't last as long, dude. That runner's high. I see what they're talking about now. It lasts a little longer, bro. It's
what
weird.
What if you masturbate while you're running?
That's something I could get into. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I could mess that up and die like a David Carradine type thing if I wasn't careful. We found him with his penis in his hand. He was on the floor. He tripped on his fucking shorts that were down around his ankles.
Yeah, but I was all ready to like conceive the next fitness craze. And you're like, well, it is kind of, it could be lethal.
Yeah.
But I will have you know that I can't remember, was it Pompeii or something, where they unearthed like all the people recently and they found the one guy and he's been preserved for all these years and he was masturbating at the point of his death. I envy
this. This is
guy.
Real?
Yeah, this is legit, man. This is absolutely legit. He's about to croak. It's Pompeii. I was right. Because I'm actually looking at the internet right now because the internet is quite a handy tool. And yeah, it was a few years ago they unearthed this guy, and there he was, you know, just tugging on a rug.
I think you should go around your life always masturbating in case it's your last
right.
moment on
you
earth.
You just don't
always
know.
Be ready.
Yep. You don't know. But that guy is a fucking hero throughout the ages. I don't care. But back to my weather situation, so we can kind of change gears here and not talk about deceased people pulling their pud. Yes, I am still right now without heat and water. I have electricity, obviously, since we're not communicating via, you know, soup can and string.
Right, and I don't hear a generator running.
Yeah, but it has been friggin' miserable. And you might remember, when I was young, in my early 20s, I had an apartment, and I refused to turn on the heat.
Right.
And my friends would say, dude, it's cold in here, man. Turn the heat on. I say, I'm not paying for you guys to stay warm, and I just want another hoodie or whatever. So like,
it was a big apartment, too, so it would have cost a lot to heat it.
Exactly.
High ceilings.
Yeah, right. I should have pointed that out so people could realize that I am a cheapskate, but this was this was legit.
Yeah.
Too legit to quit in this circumstance. But the thing was, is like that trained me. I can handle freezing temperatures because I just layer. I'm from New England originally, so I can, you know, handle this stuff. But the thing that affects me more is not having water because I am a shower-aholic.
Mm.
I am always showering at least two times a day.
Wow.
So for now to be, I think it's like day three or four of me just in my own filth.
Jesus. Licking yourself like a cat?
No. Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, you got to make do, man. You got
to
do something.
True, right? Well, the funny thing was today I was invited to a person's house to take a shower. You would think I would hop at the opportunity to do so. But for me, it's like I don't like using public toilets, right? I can't.
Oh,
I'll wait like 8 hours until I get home.
Yeah.
You'll never see me like sitting on a Mickey D's crapper.
Shit break.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, all right, you know, there's a possibility the water might come on today. So let me take a gamble on that and, you know, kind of maybe keep that weird shred of my dignity. I don't know that I'm so like, I don't even know why I'm protecting it. But still, I made a gamble. And yet again, in the history of gambling and me, I lost because the water is still off.
Wow, you're a proud, stinky dude still.
No, I'm not proud. Dude, this sucks.
Well, you're too proud to take a shower from someone else.
Oh, it's just, to me, I don't know, man. It's like, it's one thing if you're like staying over someone's house for the weekend or if you're, you know what I mean? But this is like someone I barely know. And I appreciate the offer. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just so awkward. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of it.
I guess, man.
That's like a real personal space.
Sure. I mean, I can't really relate because, dude, I've been in homeless shelters and prisons and places where you got to shower, like, not just in somebody else's stuff, but where tons of other people and gross people have been. You got to wear shower shoes and hope your feet don't accidentally hit the floor.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well.
So I think you would have had a hard time doing, you know,
hard
lengths
time.
Of time. Because you'll get.
hard time.
Fair to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, because people fight you if you start smelling, you know?
I bet. I mean, luckily the temperature has been so cold here in Texas, Tejas, because, you know, the government here sucks. They're a bunch of fucking morons, idiots. I don't even know.
Don't mess with Texas.
I don't even know if I want to get started on that, but fuck Ted Cruz.
Dude, he's in Cancun. He took off.
Yeah, but he came back when he got busted.
I
had to escort my kids. You know, his normal fucking bullshit rhetoric crap, trying to save his own ass. Greg Abbott, the governor, trying to blame everything on windmills. And it's like these fucking idiots, man. Like, here's the problem I have with this, though, right? Everybody here is outraged. What party, you know, you belong to, it doesn't matter. You could be Republican. You voted for Ted Cruz. Right now, you're mad at him, right?
Sure.
I didn't, but still, I'm mad at him anyway. But the thing is, this isn't going to last. Like, I keep seeing things now in the news, like, this is really going to hit the GOP hard in Texas. All this disaster stuff going on, and these tweets are going to come back to haunt them, how they were taunting California and everything else. And I'm like, no, it's not going to. It won't.
Right.
Nothing has staying power anymore. In 6 months, people will forget about this. They're going to bring up something else.
Of course.
All thanks to the whole force-feeding people the Fox News narrative or cue card conspiracies meant to rile up their base. Everything else that's truly happening is going to get swept underneath the rug.
Yeah.
When realistically, this is a nightmare that every person in Texas should be completely outraged for the rest of their lives over. It was not that much snow. It really is.
It was a massive failure. Yeah.
Just all around the board. And then, you know, the more you read about it, the angrier you get because you realize that this has been decades long ignoring the problem because they think, okay, it's never going to happen here. So let's not worry about it or let's not put any money into the infrastructure or anything like that because the odds of it happening are so small and it's been discussed and brought up and they just say, fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
conservatives don't believe in climate change or anything that could possibly change the weather patterns, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not too worried down there.
But, you know, now everybody's suffering. Now everybody's fucking eating shit, and they're just like, well, I'm off to Cancun, going to escort my kids because they have a week off from school. And it was like, I think he took off on like a Wednesday or Thursday too. So,
yeah, and he had a bunch of luggage with him. Like, he had like more than enough to just drop your kid off, you know? He told, just so the listeners, if they're not familiar, Ted Cruz was spotted like slyly trying to slink away to Cancun. Somebody just happened to film him on an iPhone at the airport, and he was confronted, and he's like, my kids were going down there, and I was just going to drop them off and head right back to fight with you guys for, you know, to make sure this gets taken care of. And it's like, no, you weren't. They looked at his itinerary, and he had booked more time than he ended up staying. Mm. It's like he changed his plans once he was caught. So he looked, you know, the guy's already got the most punchable face in history.
Right.
I'm not even a big fan of punching people in the face, and I want to punch them in the face. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a particularly violent guy, but Ted Cruz has a face that, you know, no jury would convict you.
Yeah.
Unless it was, you know, a couple judges appointed by Donald
Trump.
Well,
didn't Lindsey Graham even say if he was murdered on the Senate floor, no one would even convict the murderer?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy, he ran for – I think I might have even brought this up on the show before because I had moved here when Beto O'Rourke was running against him for the Senate seat. And of course, I voted Beto. But during one of the debates, because there was this whole thing throughout the entire campaign where Ted Cruz kept going crazy, running commercials, everything about how Beto was going to legalize fentanyl. Like, that was like one of his things. He was like going nuts about it. Like, do you want fentanyl legalized for Texans? If you do, then vote for Beto O'Rourke. And you're like, dude, who the fuck in their right mind would legalize that? You know what I mean?
Or who would believe that he would legalize that?
Well, apparently plenty of people, because even during one of their debates, now this is true. Ted Cruz had a sister with a drug problem who died.
Well,
yeah. Terrible, right? You feel bad for sympathetic for anybody. But he had to bring this up during the debate. Like, you could tell this motherfucker was practicing in front of the mirror all night long to try to, like, feign any sort of emotion or sadness over one of his own family members to yet again say to Beto O'Rourke on a debate stage, you would legalize fentanyl. How could I ever allow that to happen, especially after what occurred with my poor departed sister? And you're looking at him, you're like, that is the fakest fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like, capitalizing off her death. He's, you know,
and
using it. Yeah.
Poorly. Like, he is just the fucking scummiest of all these fucking scumbags. You know what I mean?
Slimy dude. Slimy dude.
Slimy evil. Just evil fucking piece of shit. He's a cunt. He's a fucking worthless cunt. Him and Greg Abbott, they can go fucking rots in the pits of hell together. They're evil. They're wrong. Oh, my God. It's terrible.
I know.
It's like, I guess we're totally fitting the theme of the REM song they started singing at the beginning of the show.
Should we talk about the weather? Yeah. Should we talk about the government?
Yeah. And here we are, you know, but yeah. But realistically, they're tied, you know, in hand because of what's happening here. Because yet again, to reiterate, there wasn't a bunch of snow here. It's just that there's no resources to tackle such an issue. We don't even have plows, man. I didn't even see people plowing the streets.
Wow.
There's been layers of ice and we're sitting there for days. And with the cold temperatures, they just, yeah, they just sat there and made conditions slippery. Now, a few days ago, I had to call 911, not for me, so don't worry, but for a neighbor who was having a little bit of distress. I won't go exactly into the nature of what they were dealing with, but the point is, I called 911 for them. And I was on hold for over 20 minutes waiting to get through to 911. I understand. Listen. It's busy, right? People are freaking out all over. There's probably accidents all over the road. Legit emergencies are happening under such conditions. Completely, totally get it. But to be so unprepared that you cannot get someone to answer a 911 call, one agent, one representative, anybody in over 20 minutes is fucking lethal.
Yeah, that's inexcusable, man. That's crazy.
Now, luckily, the person wasn't dying of a heart attack or stroke or something like that. So it did take the police quite a while to arrive. I think it was an hour after I originally called. But God forbid, if you were a senior or, again, somebody with a health condition, you're going to die.
Somebody overdosing or something. You're dead. You know what I mean?
That's it, man. You're fucking dead. Yeah. And this is in Dallas, Texas, a major metropolitan city in the United States of America. Could not get through to 911. Now, I posted this on our social media, at Selling Out Show. So if you don't follow us on Twitter, make sure you do, is along with our other outlets, I guess. Look them up.
Come check out Selling Out Show on Facebook.
There you go.
Care of that one.
Yep, Nate's all over that bad boy. But the thing is, I just cannot get over how inexcusable this whole event has been.
It's just, there's a lot of things that we aren't even aware that we should be worried about. Like, who would have thought Texas would have had to worry about that shit? Well, I guess all the climate change people. Everyone warning that there are massive changes happening.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, if you talk to these fucking right-wing nut jobs, they're going to say, like, oh, yeah, well, this hasn't happened in 30 years. It never got this cold. And who could foresee this and that and blah, blah, blah. Well, dude, things happen, right? You don't believe in global warming? Well, shit fucking happens. And then, you know, the argument would be, well, should I prepare for my nipples turning into balloons? Is that something I should be worried about, floating off into the atmosphere, never to be seen again? I mean, really, if something only happens, you know, once in a lifetime event, should we really be that concerned about it? Yes, you should, because we are obligated to take care of people. You are elected to, in fact, care for your constituents, you motherfucker. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But not here, buddy. And listen, I'm not trying to dig a hole for the GOP. You know I can't stand Republicans. You know that. But realistically, pretty much every politician on the face of the earth, at least 99.9% of them don't give a fuck about you. They just want to line their wallets with lobbyist money and have a good old time, enjoy their yachts, their celebrity. Because now that's what politics is all about. How many Twitter followers you have. Right. You know what I mean? That's what they think, they're fucking rock stars more than anything, because it's just fucking stage. This is all theater for them, for their brand.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's we suffer. People don't fucking matter anymore. We just don't. It's ridiculous. And what gets me is how people can just live in those bubbles, believe everything that their politicians say, anybody says, really. I mean, you've got to always question authority.
Right.
When do we stop doing that? I don't care. Like, I voted for Joe Biden. He does something fucking stupid. I'm going to call him out for it. I'm going to question his decision if something he's doing I don't like.
Right. You don't blindly follow him.
Exactly. You're not just grazing in the field of bullshit. Right. Yeah, it seems like here, now that I live in Texas, man, so many people are these fucking sheep out there. Just like, oh, whatever he said, follow him. He has the stick. He's got that weird curvy stick. I don't know the name for those.
The crook, the shepherd's crook.
Or is it a crook?
Yeah.
Well, that's fitting.
I think so.
That's appropriate. That's on brand, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I know what you're saying, man. I think, there's definitely become this strange, following, like, idol worship of party, you know, party over country. And,
nuts.
It's gotten crazy. It's like, what happened to this dude? is a piece of shit, so let's call him a piece of shit. Like, we don't have to, like, pretend he's good just because he's on our side. And if we have a shitty candidate, the other side might win, God forbid. You know, it's like, that seems to be what happened, you know, over on the right specifically. I mean, it happens on both sides, I'm sure, but it was a pretty glaring example with the last 4 years, you know. It's just, I don't know. I'm sure enough's been said about that, but, you know, hopefully we'll be rid of talking about this at some point. You know?
No, that's not going to fucking happen.
I know.
People it seems enjoy like it too much. It's just ridiculous. And I would rather never talk about it again, to be perfectly honest with you. No, I'd rather they're just boring, vanilla fucking politicians out there that just, you know, even if they're crooked, we don't hear about it. Just let them fucking go off in their own little fucking neck of the woods. But the thing is, dude, like, Ted Cruz, too, with his whole, like, trying to be a good dad thing and spin it, he might as well have just said, like, oh, the best way to inspect frozen wind turbines is from 30,000 feet and tried to fucking, you know what I mean? He, like, I just can't fucking get over
it. He wasn't even clever.
That's what I mean. His excuse is fucking terrible. And then, like, someone, like, questions about it, him about it again, and he scoffs. Like, how dare you ask me this fucking question? I just addressed it. It's like, well, because we don't believe you.
Right.
That's why.
And then he went and got a couple cops to, like, escort him after that. I saw footage after that of people following him, and then he had, like, called a couple cops over because he was tired of being confronted and asked, you know, like, he felt assaulted.
It's threatened. Like, he doesn't want to be canceled. Yeah. You can't cancel Ted Cruz.
Oh my God.
If I saw Ted Cruz right now, I'd punch him so hard in the asshole, I'd be buried up to my fucking elbow. And it'd be good, too, because I'm cold. So, you know, my forearm would be warm with his
icy
rectal
fist.
Heat. Yeah. Icy fist right to the butthole of Ted Cruz. Take that, you cocksucker. Oh, my God, he makes me so angry.
Yeah. Well, I will say, as much as we usually don't talk about politics, we have a couple times now, a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But I feel like, listen, we can just say this is our tribute to the memory of Rush Limbaugh, who also just died.
No, I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, the funny thing about that, not funny, I mean, I don't know what to say about it, but the thing is like, you know, a lot of people were celebrating that he died, you know, and then it gives the other side to make it, you know, oh, look at these guys, they're dancing on the motherfucker's grave, oh, that's terrible, and this and that, and it becomes another thing. It's a whole other
thing. And, yeah, but he was the beginning of this whole, like crucify the other side, you know, just like...
Oh, I understand.
Like, yeah.
I get really it. Like, he was
partisan
bitten poison.
Hatred.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember venom. Fucking all that shit with Donovan McNabb back in the day. And he's a racist fucking evil prick, just like the rest of them. So, you know, it is what it is. But I did not want to talk about him one bit because there's been another death that I think is way more underreported, under-discussed, and a man who you may have questioned his morals, his ethics, who he was as a person, but he deserved a lot of credit, and that was Larry Flint.
Right. Oh, yeah. I know. We haven't really we haven't talked about him. That happened, I think, since our last episode.
Yeah, so. And I saw that, and I mean, I didn't, honestly, I wasn't even sure if he was alive or dead at that point. I'm like, is that true? Didn't he die like 5 years ago?
Mandela effect.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, right. But I mean, still, if you think about free speech, and if you like smut, like most adults do, Larry Flint was quite the character. And he fucking hated Jerry Falwell, so that's important.
He was an unlikely hero. He was definitely, a soldier in the fight for free speech, free expression. They always say free speech never helps the speech you like. You know, the free speech laws help the speech that you don't want to hear. You know, they protect speech you don't like. You know, the things that most people would find objectionable. We were talking about not eulogizing people that don't deserve to be. And when you mentioned Jerry Falwell, Larry Flint had the famous feud with Jerry Falwell, the leader of the religious right, the whole, whatever, moral majority, all that shit. Jerry Falwell, when he died, I remember Christopher Hitchens, another of my favorite thinkers, speakers, writers, said, if you gave Jerry Falwell an enema before he died, you could have buried him in a matchbox. And I thought...
Well, it's full of shit.
I thought that's pretty much what it's... you could say about Rush Limbaugh as well.
Well, you know, in memory of Larry Flint, someone who I think is actually more deserving of a tribute, I would like you to repeat a line that we used to laugh at quite often. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Continue, please.
There was an old, there was some old footage of Larry Flint. I don't know if he was opening a porn store / coffee shop. This new idea. And he was being interviewed and someone was like, what do you think, Madonna would come in order? And he goes, I think she'd have a cappuccino and a butt plug. He's like, what do you think Pope John Paul would have? I think I have a latte and a dildo.
That line has always stuck with me, man. Like, just like random moments in my whatever existence, I would hear a latte and a dildo.
Oh, man. We'll miss you, Larry Flint.
Yes, exactly. He, important.
We almost missed you already because we didn't know you were alive still.
Right? See that? Because I'm an idiot. Well, but that's nothing new. And speaking of idiots, before we get off the topic, I just read something today that Cadbury cream eggs, you know I love them. I've talked about them on this show so many times. Right. How I buy them in bulk at Easter and I freeze them and I save them.
Put them in your butt.
Wherever. Right now is probably the coldest spot on the face of the earth. So yeah. And I can't wait to get my hands on those Cadbury cream eggs. But they just released a commercial.
Okay.
And it has caused outrage.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. With, yet again, conservative groups, because it's a little bit of a saucy commercial. And they suggest that you can share them any way that you'd like. And one scene at the end of the commercial, dropping the mic, has two men in a kiss sharing a Cadbury cream egg. Now, to opponents of Cadbury cream eggs, I can see you going, sharing a Cadbury cream egg in that fashion could be fairly disgusting. I get it.
Yeah, that'd be
but
gross.
That doesn't matter what sex you are, because it's just because the Cadbury cream egg is gooey in the center. If you've ever had
break.
One, yeah, I love them, but some people they just don't like them because of that consistency, and I get that.
Sure, sure.
But still, because you're a homophobe, you're freaking out over a commercial for Cadbury cream egg saying they're destroying the idea of chocolate for the youth, corrupting them. To which I say, fuck you, more Cadbury cream eggs for me, you fucking prejudiced piece of shit.
Right. Go eat your Chick-fil-A. We'll take the Cadbury cream eggs,
Oh, yeah. Seriously, though. I mean, like, I don't get this whole fucking, like, everybody's freaking out over, you can't cancel Gina Serrano on The Mandalorian because she said something on social media. And then the moment you show two guys kissing on a fucking commercial for a goddamn candy, it's like 26,000 petitions roll into Cadbury.
Boycott.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Boycott this candy. Come on, people. Do we realize this is the lunacy? This is the insanity that we surround ourselves with every fucking day.
Oh, my God, man.
Wake the fuck up. You know what I mean?
I do. Can we switch gears? Can we get into some raring to talk about some other stuff?
Okay. Well, we can do that. I totally endorse that. That has my support on the selling out show ticket. But before we do so, I do have to thank our partners. Because unlike some of the other topics that we have discussed on this very show, they rule and are totally cool and do not make me angry in the least. Plus, they warm me up, warm my heart, if you will. And first up, we have alpinehemp.com. Listen, the CBD revolution has arrived. And it doesn't matter if you're late to hop on the train. It's no big deal. Because if you visit alpinehemp.com today, you can find great deals on a wide variety of CBD products. I also... I'm a big vapor. I love to vape. I smoked for way too long in my life. Nate, you smoke, you can't jog, can you?
Right.
Nope.
Nope.
No way, Jose. But if you visit northlandvapor.com and check them out, they got some of the best e-liquids on the market. So make sure you quit smoking, get vaping. Or some people enjoy vaping as a hobby, or as long as it's not big tobacco, I don't give a crap what you do with it. But I'll tell you right now that their liquids are Dietone and artificial sweetener free, so you know you're not pumping your body full of junk. They have retail locations, but make sure you check out their website, northlandvapor.com. Now at alpinehemp.com and northlandvapor.com, you can save 19% off your entire order by using code SELLINGOUT19, and that is rad as hell. Last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. Oh my God, if you're new to the show, you've never listened to us hype this product before, what else is there for me to say but to introduce you to the greatest experience you may ever have with your partner? Because face it, listen, sometimes you need a little extra help. You need a little slip and slide to get inside, if you know what I mean. Now, I'm not trying to sound dirty, not trying to sound crass, but sometimes you need a little extra lube to get in that ass. So, listen, if that's the case, or if you just want to have a fun time, try something new. Check out spunklube.com today, and you can thank me later. Now, without further ado, let's hop into something Nate wants to talk about in his segment known as luck would have it, Nate's Notes.
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
Lately, there's been a resurgence in media coverage surrounding one of my generation's most controversial rock stars. And it's made me do what I seem to do best, look back on things. Back in 1994, I was a huge Nine Inch Nails fan, and they were touring in support of their groundbreaking new record, The Downward Spiral. Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails' principal songwriter, had recently started his own record label, and even begun helping to produce other artists' albums. One of his first pet projects was a Florida group of shock rock goth types called Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids. He basically took them under his wing and brought them on tour to expose the world to this dark new talent. At age 15, and as a huge Reznor acolyte, I was completely on board. Marilyn Manson, the group's frontman and namesake, by this point they dropped the Spooky Kids from the title, was a slinky, skeletal, ghoulish figure with stringy black hair like that chick from The Ring, scars and cuts all over his thin, pale body, and eyes with seemingly no colored iris, just tiny black pupils. At this time, oddly colored contact lenses weren't really seen outside of the movie industry, so we in the audience were properly creeped out and intrigued. He mixed the black latex, leather, and other goth trappings with candy stripes and other carnival motifs, juxtaposing contrasting imagery to make the viewer question systemic beliefs and their own conventions. Even the name Marilyn Manson fused two names that were equally famous, but for very different reasons, in some sort of commentary on celebrity. At the time, all the other band members, nee Spooky Kids, had similar pinup girl serial killer pseudonyms. Madonna Wayne Gacy, Twiggy Ramirez, Daisy Berkowitz, etc. The music was a punkier sort of industrial than Nine Inch Nails played, and where Reznor took some jabs at religion in between his love songs, Manson focused mostly on anti-Christian sentiment and challenging conservative societal conventions. You need to remember, at the time, the U.S. was far more conservative, and as Marilyn Manson grew in popularity and his loudspeaker got bigger, so did the backlash from the media. I know this is turning into one of my artist bio pieces, and I don't mean for that to be the point of this. I'm just trying to set the stage. So the kids started hopping on board the Manson train. Despite all the daytime talk shows proclaiming him to be the downfall of our society personified, his fame only surged. He publicly allied himself with a previous generation's convention troll, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. He wrote a memoir detailing all kinds of rock star antics and sexual debauchery that I will touch on a bit more in a little while. He toyed with fascist imagery on stage. He played with gender norms and challenged traditional views on sexuality and beauty, all fairly significant actions when viewed through the lens of 20th century society, though pretty juvenile and gross in execution. The point is that controversy wasn't a byproduct of his fame, it was the driving force. In 1999, as Manson's fame was on the decline, the mass shooting at Columbine High School brought him back into the spotlight, albeit mistakenly, because the shooters wore black trench coats and other pieces of misanthropic regalia. All the news outlets assumed they were Manson listeners, when actually even Manson was far too establishment for them, their tastes being more underground industrial in nature. But nonetheless, Manson was being pointed to and even interviewed on many opinion shows and news segments, and it both rekindled his relationship with the national spotlight and solidified his fan base against the media's criticism. Now, to be fair, Manson was unjustly accused in this case, but no publicity is bad publicity, or so he thought. Fast forward about 20 years. Manson has become a bloated, irrelevant curiosity in the last couple decades. Put out some records, I guess. Nothing I've checked out has seemed even notable. It seems that his past celebrity was more a result of the era in which he arose, mixed with Trent Reznor's production. In the absence of those conditions, Manson's talent appears far less remarkable. And it's hard for an aging goth has-been to spark controversy. Or so it would seem. Recently, the actress Evan Rachel Wood went on record with allegations of abuse and sexual misconduct directed at Manson. Horrible things she endured while dating him years ago. In the wake of this revelation, many other people have come forward to comment on not just the truth in Ms. Wood's claims, but on all kinds of shitbag behavior they witnessed while in Manson's presence over the years. Guitarist Wes Borland and even Trent Reznor himself have both spoken publicly about what a loathsome and abusive figure he is, how poorly he treats people, especially women. As if all the people coming out of the woodwork weren't enough, remember how I mentioned a memoir filled with rock star antics, etc. earlier? Well, I read that book when it came out, back when I was still somewhat intrigued by the controversial figure. I remember him detailing the way he would treat girls who would make it backstage to party with the band. Games involving the girls eating lots of colorful fruity cereal and laxatives. Target practice while spitting at these female fans' naked bodies, urinating on them, making fun of a deaf fan while sexually exploiting her. It's been a long time since I read it, but I remember some of those details. I also remember not listening to Manson much longer after that. So here we are in 2021. Marilyn Manson, or Brian Warner, if we can use his real name, is now just another puffy, creepy, old entertainment industry misogynist type. Nothing interesting to say. Still somehow courting controversy, though this time the controversy is eating him alive like a praying mantis. That bad boy, rock star, hedonistic persona he cultivated has become the Frankenstein monster that will ultimately put an end to him. Or so we can all hope.
Yeah, it's wild. It's crazy, man. Like, I've never liked Marilyn Manson, you know? But the thing was, is we were at, like, the perfect age when the height of his popularity hit. And I remember just so many people being sucked into this. And like you said, controversy was more the content than the actual music itself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes. I mean, I know, like you said, he used the imagery and some of his lyrics were a little shocking or whatever, but it was like you'd see people dressing up like him to get a rise out of society as a whole.
Right.
And I get it. Rebellious youth. You know what I mean? But now it's amazing that it took this long, this many decades later, for him to kind of have to pay the piper for just nasty, terrible behavior. I mean, we live in the post Harvey Weinstein age. You know what I mean? Where people are finally taken to task for some of the terrible things they've done. Now,
Me Too movement and all that.
And it's all justified and deserved. I mean, these women were treated like fucking garbage, man. And I've talked about in the past how sometimes I mistreated women, but never to this degree.
Right.
Again, when I was young, because I hate to use the excuse, but you don't know any better. But I mean, you just, maybe you were taught wrong, or you just, you know, again, your young mind just wasn't there. It wasn't mature enough yet to understand totally what was right from wrong.
Sure.
But all this stuff is just insane. And then here's something that's going to sound terrible coming out of my mouth, but it's the absolute truth. I didn't know he was dating, what's her name, Evan Rachel Wood from Westworld.
Yep.
And she seems like an incredibly intelligent and smoking hot woman. What the fuck is she doing with Marilyn Manson? He's ugly she was as young. A turd.
Yeah, she was really young, dude. It was back like 20 years ago. I mean, Evan Rachel Wood was an actress back when, you know, she was like, I forget, she was in a movie called 13. That was like this controversial movie because it was showing the shocking way like young kids. It was one of the first movies that was like exposing how shockingly, you know, mature young girls are being or acting. So she was young when she started acting and she was still a teenager, legal, I guess, but still a teenager when she was dating Manson. And he just really took advantage of her and like had her like almost like a pet. You know what I mean? Like people would comment on how he treated her like an animal almost, you know, like had her under his thumb on a leash.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Possibly literally. But
Again, to kind of like speak to it, like you said, she was really young. You know what I mean?
Right.
And people take advantage of youth. You know what I mean? Because we didn't know any better. We didn't understand. We don't really – we can't. I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Can't grasp like what's right or wrong sometimes. And it's unfortunate and sad. It's terrible, you know? But the thing was with the Manson thing, I know he immediately tried to defend himself. Of course, he was already dropped from his record label and whatever project he had coming out. Trent Reznor was like, this guy's a shitbag.
Exactly.
To which, though, I wonder, like you said, these books have been written about him in the past and these celebrities coming out against him now, these men who were supposedly friends with him, why didn't they speak up a little bit earlier? Why did it have to be the woman's responsibility who got treated like shit to kind of say, hey,
that's a good point.
I don't know. You know what I mean? But the thing is we talked a little bit earlier too about cancel culture and how you can't cancel this and that. And it works, it works both ways, I suppose. But the thing is like, this is just, what a fuck.
When there's a pattern. Yeah, when there's like a pattern of behavior to the point where a person's just a piece of shit. Like somebody like what it's turning out, Manson, it wasn't just her. Like I said, all the the groupies and the, you know, the girls, the fans that would come backstage, like they were horrible shit, dude, like that I read. And I mean, it wasn't just him. He writes in his book about other band members. And there's actually some controversy because he wrote in it that part of those like, you know, that debauchery, that backstage shit involved Trent Reznor. He wrote in the book because they used to tour together. As I mentioned, that's where I first saw Manson and he was part of that camp kind of. And eventually Trent Reznor, you know, hated him after a while, after he started getting too big for his, you know, britches or whatever. Right. But the point is, he wrote Trent Reznor into some of that memoir, and Trent Reznor disputes it now. He's saying, you know, I had nothing to do with that, but you never know. Trent Reznor was a fucked up dude back in the day too. I mean, he's matured a lot more apparently than Manson. I mean, Trent Reznor's been in a stable marriage for years now, you know, and seems very sober and healthy. And Manson's just this, he just looks like he's been ridden hard and put away wet, you know. He looks like he's had a rough one and he still hasn't learned any lessons, you know. He's just, my point was that people like that are like Bill Cosby with a pattern of, you know, mistreating people, and just something has to be done. You can call it cancel culture, but when somebody's that big of a piece of shit, maybe don't let him slide anymore, you know. Maybe take away some of their privilege, if you will.
Yes, and there has to be accountability.
Right, exactly.
That's the thing. When people just double down on lies, like it's just, come on, man. If you did it, you did it. Just say you did it. Maybe you've learned from something. Maybe you've grown. Maybe you've changed. you know, all these things could happen. It's the evolution of being. But dude, like, I just cannot stand when people will just deny shit tooth and nail to protect whatever they're holding on to. And I understand there's millions of dollars at stake here.
Yeah.
Well, for him, I suppose, is an image or what have you. But
yeah,
I mean, fess up, man. Just do it. Just tell, say what you did. You know, come on.
I know. Yeah. But hey, you know, it sounds like he's kind of a fucked up. I mean, well, obviously he's a fucked up dude too. But like, there was records of him saying that, you know, I'm hurting myself and it's your fault. Like, he was like, that's the type of psychological abuse he would do.
I don't know, man. I'd like to know what our listeners think about anything we talked about today. I brought up earlier that we have social media accounts, Twitter, the Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and email. So feel free to write us an email. It's nice. It's like writing a letter. Home from I don't know, you're traveling, you're at war, whatever. Write home like you love us. And that's
Gmail.
Yeah, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. Well, this episode has been a hoot. Let me tell you, Nate.
Sure. Hoot nanny.
Hoot nanny. Yeah. And I was cold before, but now I'm hot with rage.
Yeah.
Talking about
fired you up.
Ted Cruz and Marilyn Manson, and who would have thunk it, you know?
Right.
I mean, really.
I know.
That's a weird, it's weird. It's just, I mean, it's great that we can bring up so many different people on the show that piss us off.
Sure, man. Hey, whatever it takes to get you all fired up and
warm,
to not think about the, exactly, the cold.
Yeah. Well, hopefully by the time this episode is released, I will be cleaner.
Yeah.
Less flies swarming around my pits.
Yeah, man.
So pray for me.
We can all hope.
Hashtag for me, will you, people? That's all I want.
Thoughts and prayers.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord, here we go. Thoughts and prayers for Dave. Hashtag. Oh, yeah. Actually, what would be a good hashtag for me?
Hashtag tongue bath.
Tongue bath. Oh, no. All right, we're getting the fuck out of here. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to our program today. And virtual hugs for all of you. I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up, you never look so low. Tell me how we know they can't hear us coming. It's easy for me. I got a head start running away. Get back for your disease, man, quick. So how did you learn to be sick? So